Cusack from Raw Edge Access, and welcome to tonight's call, sponsored in part by our friends at GatherGreen.com. Tonight, we feature an exclusive talk with the author of EcoSex, Stephanie Iris Weiss. We're going to answer as many questions as we can. Thank you for submitting. We're going to unveil what we need to know about how we can make our love lives more green. First, Eduardo and Magda from Gather Green are here. They're going to talk a little about the live event coming up in Los Angeles, August 20th, 2011. Let's get them on the call right now. Eduardo.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, Eduardo and Magda. Are you there?
Yeah, this is Magda. I'm here. How's it going?
Great. Welcome to the call. You guys going to let us know what's going on?
Absolutely.
We have a great event set up for coming up this Saturday. We have Stephanie coming out from New York to Hollywood. We have a beautiful location in the Hollywood Hills that we decided to turn it into a pool party. We just have an incredible lineup for the day. Would you like to hear more about it now?
Oh, yeah, we would love to.
Okay. Well, we have a great lineup of speakers. Of course, Stephanie is going to be answering that big question that everybody keeps asking, what is EcoSex? She'll be there talking about that. We're also including with the deal a supplement, a hot rock supplement, which is a libido enhancer, an herbal supplement that comes with it. We have Ramania Dean Thomas of Shaman Shack is going to come talk to us about aphrodisiac herbs, and he can also do custom formulas for people that are there. We have Raw Gourmet handcrafted Chinese herbal-infused aphrodisiac chocolates from Gaia Alchemy. We're doing a aphrodisiac raw food recipe demo. We have Justin the Raw coming to do that for us. It's going to be such an incredible afternoon. We're going to be seated in a garden. We have a pool for people to jump into if they want to. We also are doing love potions. There's something called pusangas that are Amazonian love potions. We have Taylor Estes coming to teach us about that. It's really going to be a full afternoon workshop where people are going to walk away with information they didn't have before and know how to really enhance their own love life and make it more sustainable. So we also have a bunch of merchants. We're going to have organic wine tasting. We're going to have merchants there with candles and sustainable condoms. I mean, it's going to be a whole afternoon of amazing stuff going on. So we hope that a lot of people can make it out to meet Stephanie in person, get their book signed, and learn more about how to make their love life sustainable.
Well, great. And Eduardo, did you have anything to add to that?
Sure. I just wanted to say that, part of our mission as Gather Green is to bring people together and help them learn about all these amazing things. And I just want to thank you, Steve, for hosting this call tonight, and also to Stephanie for sharing all your sexy green knowledge with us, and also Magda for helping to put together such a great event for this Saturday. And right now we're dropping the price for the tickets on the event while we're on this call to 25 instead of 35. So if you want to get on GatherGreen.com and get your tickets for the event, go ahead and do that now. All the information is there. And, looking forward to the rest of the hour and seeing everyone on Saturday.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, thank you, Steve.
And we're going to continue with our call now. I want to thank everyone for submitting your questions. We're going to get to our call right now with Stephanie Iris Weiss. She's the author of 9 books as diverse as The Beauty Myth, Yoga, and Veganism. Her current book, EcoSex, Go Green Between the Sheets and Make Your Love Life Sustainable, is the topic of tonight's class. Stephanie teaches writing as an adjunct professor at Hunter College in New York, and leads private writing workshops. So let's get her on the call right now. Stephanie, welcome.
Hi, Steve. How are you tonight?
Great. How's it going in New York?
It's great. Actually, it's night here. It's only evening for you there, I suppose.
Well, that's true.
I just wanted to correct one thing that you read from my bio. I did not write The Beauty Myth. That's Naomi Wolf. She wrote the famous, I just want to make sure that I make that, I'm not claiming to have written that book. The Beauty Myth is a famous, famous book by Naomi Wolf, who's a famous feminist. I wrote a book for teenage girls called Coping with the Beauty Myth, A Guide for Real Girls, based on her book. Just wanted to clarify
that. Before we jump into it, our listeners might be in front of their internet or computer right now. So what's the best way to get to your website so they can look at some of what you're doing?
My website is ecosex.net. Very important to do the net and not the com, because the com at some point was a porn site, and my site is not a porn site. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but that's not what my site is.
Gotcha. Well, the Ask Ecosex website up, the Ask About Ecosex, and lots of questions came in. We're going to get through as many as we can. Let's first start a little about your background and what led you to write the book. What was the defining moment where you said, we've got to get a book in the green movement about sex?
You know, it came to me sometime, I believe it was around 2008, where I began to notice that all of my friends who were green, you know, who were doing all the right things in their life, such as recycling and composting and, you know, putting in the proper light bulbs, et cetera, were just not even thinking about their sex lives at all. When we would talk about subjects like lube and condoms and sex toys, I would realize that there was just a total disconnect. It was affecting every area of their lives except for their sex lives. And I found that to be very interesting, because I think that we suffer from kind of this lack of holistic thinking around sexuality in general. And it is very disconnected from the rest of our lives in so many ways. So I thought to myself, wow, you know, this really needs to be addressed. There are so many ways that we can begin to green and make more eco-friendly our sex lives and the way that we use courtship and within our relationships. So I started to investigate and came up with the idea for this book.
Well, great. Well, we just had you on Raw Vegan Radio, so I had the opportunity to ask you all about it, which I loved. And I'm going to, you know, open the mic to these questions that came in, and we're going to just throw them at you and see how we do.
Okay, terrific. Looking forward.
Okay. The first one I'm looking at here, what contraception options are eco and or herbal versus artificial hormones, et cetera?
This is such a great question, and thank you to the person that asked it. It's so essential, and it's often overlooked. So, you know, there are a lot of options for birth control that are not green at all and are in fact dangerous to our bodies and quite toxic. And you know, and one of the things that I say in the book over and over is that being green and your health are so inextricably linked. We almost always find that, you know, whatever is most healthy is also most green. And that's certainly the case with birth control. Although I'm a huge proponent of the availability of all forms of birth control, and I'm 150%, if one can be, pro-choice, I unfortunately realized in recent years, and actually in my own experience going back, you know, some years ago, that the birth control pill is actually all, you know, no matter how much it liberated us and set women free from a lot of unfortunate things that were going on in women's lives in the 1960s, they're actually potentially quite toxic for our bodies, and they're also very toxic to the water system. And there are some theories out there that birth control pills being excreted back out into the water system are affecting the fish and possibly causing issues with fish and gender. So it's quite serious, and we really don't even know all the implications. And there are also a tremendous amount of health implications from the pill. And, you know, to me, the most overlooked and best alternative option to the pill is actually the IUD. It's just a very, very simple device. And then I'm talking about the non-hormonal IUD. Your doctor puts it in for you. It stays in for a very long time. It's a small piece of plastic and copper wire. And if, you know, some women who are a little bit older are probably familiar with stories in, I think it was like the late 70s and 80s, and I learned about this in my research. Obviously, at that time, I was too young and didn't know about it, but the IUD was implicated in some kind of, there was like some bad version of an IUD from one particular company, and it almost totally shut down the industry, and people really stopped using them because they thought that they were totally dangerous. But that is not, in fact, true, and they are wonderful if you're in a monogamous relationship. They're, you know, everyone is different, obviously, and everyone has to try your own, you know, experience with different forms of contraception. But the IUD is a great, great thing instead of the birth control pill, in my opinion. So that's one category. That's the monogamous relationship where you're not worrying about STDs. But if you're dating and you have multiple partners, obviously you need to protect yourself from STDs. And still, the condom is really the best possible option out there for you for contraception and protection from STDs. In my opinion, and a lot of other green people's opinions, the latex condom is still the very best option. You want to avoid polyurethane, which is derived from oil, of course. And I you know, a lot of vegans are probably on the line and would not want to use a lambskin condom. Neither would I. So, and that also doesn't protect from a lot of STDs, the lambskins. So the latex condom is really your best option, and the great thing about our current options with condoms is that they make a lot of vegan condoms, and you may not have known that there are condoms that are not vegan, but in fact there is in the production of condoms, very often in conventional condoms, they use casein, which is a derivative of milk. So if you're a vegan and you want to make sure that you're using only vegan condoms, I recommend Sir Richard's condoms. And they're also terrific because this is a really conscious company. And I believe if Magda is still on the line, she can confirm that Sir Richard's will actually have a presence at our event on Saturday.
Yes?
Is that a yes?
He should be there. I heard from him that he's bringing the van, and he's bringing some local protection, as he put it. So, yeah.
All right. Local protection. I love it. So that would be Matthew Gerson from Sir Richard's Condoms, which is a newish company. They're really, really wonderful. So for every condom that you buy from Sir Richard's, they actually donate one condom to a developing nation, and they have a strong relationship to Partners in Health in Haiti. I really, really love them. And the last thing that I want to say is this is a little bit experimental, and I wouldn't recommend anyone running out and buying a bottle of neem and beginning to use it for contraception, but I do have a section in my book about neem because it's so incredibly promising if the FDA ever gets around to testing it. The neem tree is this tree that's very, very common in India and in that part of the world, and they use neem for everything, for cuts and scrapes, for you know, problems with some rashes. It's used for almost everything. I use it for so many things. I've never tried it for contraception, but it's supposedly kills sperm within 5 minutes. It's really quite amazing. And they've been doing various tests on it in India, and I hope that we'll get more good news on that soon because it really does seem like a promising option for us.
Well, on the other side of the spectrum, do you come across couples that are trying to conceive and recommend some eco-friendly ways, any herbal supplements or anything like that? Or do
That's a great question. Yes, that's a great question. There's actually something called, and I don't often deal with this question because I'm mainly helping people to protect themselves from getting pregnant, but I do sometimes come across it. And there are these wonderful sisters. They're based in Canada. They're out of Toronto. They're called the Red Tent Sisters, and they actually also use EcoSex. So their site is called EcoSex CA for Canada, and they recommend something called Pre-Seed Lube, which is supposed to enhance the ability of a woman's body to get pregnant. And I don't know exactly what is in that product, but not a lot of people know about it. So, if you're wanting to conceive, that's definitely something to look into.
Great. Our next question, what eco info do you have on ladies 50 and above?
That is such a great question. And I think everything about being healthy, you know, having a raw vegan diet, doing all the things that I recommend in the book, of course, applies to older people as well. So exercise, yoga, mindfulness meditation, a great diet, avoiding meat, avoiding dairy, avoiding sugar, all of these things are incredibly important. But if you're in the menopausal years, one of the biggest issues that you deal with is dryness. And lubricant is really important, sometimes on a daily basis and often for sex. So I can make a couple of recommendations for personal lubricants that I think are really, really, really awesome. One brand that I really like is Sliquid Organics. And it's just a great brand. It works really well with condoms. I love them. And they have a new version, and I have not tried it yet. I have a bottle, but I haven't tried it. It's actually infused with seaweed. So it has carrageenan, which is a really wonderful lubricant. And it's actually been shown in lab tests to prevent the spread of HPV, which is pretty amazing. And then it has Wakami, which is a red algae, which is supposed to be good for anti-wrinkle and skin revitalizing properties. And it's a source of vitamin A, B, C, and E. And then it has nori, which is a green algae, which is a great moisturizer. So it has B vitamins, folic acid, minerals, zinc, iodine, iron, and copper. And I think the thing to really remember with anything, especially what we put inside of mucous membranes, goes, you know, as much as the food that you eat. So if you're conscious about you know, what kind, drinking pure water or you know, making sure that you have green juices and you're avoiding coffee and you're avoiding dairy and you're only eating organic, that's all wonderful, and obviously continue to do that every single day. And if you're not doing it, begin to do it. But people tend not to think about what they put onto their body. They don't think about the creams and lotions and, you know, the toothpaste they use, for instance, and the lube that they use. So especially when it comes to mucous membranes, it's really important to use something other than your standard conventional lubes. And one of the things that I tell people is, you know, really, like, if you still have KY jelly in your cabinet, I insist that you go and you pour it out and you recycle the bottle and you go directly to your local Whole Foods or wherever you can get it and get yourself some nice organic lube. Another brand that I really like is Hathor Aphrodisia. It's a little harder to find, but it's a really wonderful eco-friendly lube. And it has all botanical ingredients. It also has, this is really, really wonderful, especially for older people who are suffering maybe from low libido. It's wonderful because it has horny goat weed, which is considered an aphrodisiac. It has jujube, Siberian ginseng, and a couple of other things. And it's very pure and wonderful. And the other thing with lubes that's so super important for people to remember is always get something glycerin-free. A lot of people know you should avoid, skincare products, for instance, with parabens. What most people don't know is that glycerin, although it's not on its own a toxin and it's not carcinogenic, when used in a lube, it's actually not a good thing. So when you go shopping for lube, turn over the bottle and make sure that it's glycerin-free, because glycerin inside the vagina can actually irritate and make you more prone to yeast infections and STDs. So that's a really, really important thing for people to know.
And what do you think of oils like organic grapeseed or coconut oil as a lubricant?
I think that organic grapeseed oil and coconut oil are amazing as massage oils. But you can be really tempted to use them for other kinds of lube. But if you are using latex condoms, do not use oils, because they will break down your latex condoms and make them useless.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, next question here. What do you suggest for rekindling eco-sex intimacy after 65 when your partner is anti-intimacy of any kind?
I really appreciate this question, and I think that people who are, you know, who are older than 50 and, you know, older than 65 experience this, and super, you know, and really young people, even people in their 20s and 30s experience a lack of intimacy in long-term relationships. That's so normal. But one of the ways that I think really, really works for people, this goes back to the whole idea of massage, I think that that's such a friendly way to introduce intimacy back into your relationship, because it doesn't necessarily need to be sexual, but it can lead to sex. So just introducing healthy touch again, and, you know, putting your hand on your partner's back, or even massaging their hands or their foot or something, just reaching out and touching them in a slow, easy way that isn't intimidating and isn't scary. And going back to the use of oils like coconut oil that you mentioned before, oils that have wonderful sensual scents like coconut oil. And if you're not familiar, if you don't use coconut oil in cooking, for instance, or put it in your smoothies, coconut oil is really, I mean, when I open up a bottle of a jar of coconut oil and I use it in cooking, you know, I just this morning just put some into my green smoothie this morning. I always take whatever excess I have on my little spoon, and I rub it on my hands, and I can't help but lift my hand up to my nose and inhale, because it is just so incredible. I mean, if that doesn't turn you on, you really should just to just work with it every single day, because it's for me, it's just such an instant turn on. So I would say use something like that, so that scent is brought into the space between you and your partner, and see what happens. I think that's a really good place to start.
Mm. Yeah, because, I mean, that's not often talked about when you get up in the age, how active we are sexually, and when that desire goes away with our partner. I mean, people can have an active sex life up until their 90s.
Is
that true?
Absolutely.
I'm kind of asking.
Say that again.
I was kind of asking because it's just not talked about. You know, I don't really know.
You know what? It is true, and you're absolutely right. It's not talked about, and it's so interesting that it's not talked about, and that is precisely why, you know, this is exactly what I said earlier about the lack of holistic thinking around sex. We're so disconnected. We're so afraid. I mean, you know, this also has something to do with the way that we kind of, you know, shut down older people after, I mean, our culture is so youth obsessed too. That's also a big part of it. But yeah, I mean, you know, the people do not like to talk about this. And I think that the more we open up a dialogue around it, the easier it will become for people to talk about it.
Great. Okay, our next question. What can I eat to improve the length and quality of my orgasm? I eat mostly raw and take lots of herbs and supplements.
This is a terrific question, and, you know, and I when I do interviews, you know, people, I usually have an opportunity to talk about being raw and vegan and, you know, in the standard American diet, but I don't often get the opportunity to take it a step further, so I'm excited to be able to do that. The key here is specifically with orgasms is something called nitric oxide, or NO. It's interesting that it's called NO because it makes you say yes. but nitric oxide is a chemical messenger in the body. It pumps the blood. It rules the central nervous system and the brain, and it helps the cardiovascular system to function. So it's something that we produce naturally when we exercise, but we usually don't have enough of it. And very often in erectile dysfunction, this is precisely what's missing. So one thing that you can do, and this is so simple, is you can just incorporate foods that people who are raw and vegan eat a little bit of anyway, but there are certain foods that help you to produce more of it. So these are foods that contain arginine, and when arginine is consumed into the body, there's a chemical reaction that creates more of this nitric oxide, which is something that you need. So here are some of the foods that you should be eating more of. Now, not all of them are foods that you would eat raw, but if there are people on the call that do a little bit of cooking, then, you know, you can incorporate different things here. So here are the foods if you're ready to start writing this down. And if you don't have a copy of the book, this whole list is in the book. Okay, so almonds, chickpeas, coconuts, which we love, we all love, flax seeds, garlic, ginseng, green veggies, so tons of green veggies, oatmeal, peanuts, root veggies, salmon, soybeans, sunflower seeds, tuna, walnuts, and chocolate. That's my favorite one on the list.
You really did an incredible amount of research for this book, huh?
I did do a lot of research, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I could imagine.
Yeah, definitely the most fun I've ever had researching a book, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's some better time. No, but this is great because really this isn't talked about. You know, I think when we did the radio interview, my audience was pleasantly surprised just, you know, making these connections. And it's just strange what a taboo this topic still is.
Yeah, it's really disappointing that it is so taboo. But you know, I'm finding actually that I think it is opening up. I think there's always going to be a segment of the culture that's, you know, just always going to be shut down, and you know, that's whatever, you know, an issue people have individually, and that's their own journey, and there's nothing that we can really do about that. But for those of us that are curious and wanting to know more, I think there's more and more space for us to ask these questions. I'm really seeing this happen more and more in the circles that, you know, and not just the explicitly sexual circles of, you know, people who are teaching about sexual, you know, topics. I mean, even in other arenas as well, I think people are becoming more open-minded and less embarrassed to ask questions.
Right. Well, we've got some good ones that came in here. You're going to like this next. So they want to know, please share how girls and boys can use fruits and vegetables. And they also they want you to include which fruits and vegetables should not be used.
I love it. That's adorable. Okay. Well, this, you know, and that's a great follow-up to the question about, you know, what you should use, because you really can use just about anything in, you know, the fruit and vegetable jungle. everything is pretty safe. I would avoid anything, you know, I would avoid certainly like lemons on certain areas of the body. Anything that, I mean, could sting you or irritate you, I would avoid. But, you know, obviously the phallic-shaped vegetables are a natural choice. The key thing with fruit and vegetable play is to make sure that what you're using, the produce you're using, is very clean, of course. And that's really, you know, something that people could overlook. I mean, if you're going to go buy it off the shelf, you have to make sure you wash it first, even if you're very eager to get down to business. I had a friend years ago who used to say, the only way to eat a fresh mango is in a bathtub naked with a friend. And I like that advice a lot.
Great. Any others to add to that list, or is that pretty much it as far as play and what we can smear on the body safely?
I think,
you know, I've thought about it before too. You just don't want to put anything in that might not come out.
Exactly. That's the other key thing. Thank you for reminding me. Yes, I was going to say, make sure that you don't cut anything up too small, so that it could get lost in any orifice. That's
right.
Also a key thing. Exactly. Very important. Thank you for reminding me of that.
Okay, our next question here, and you might have answered this before. It came in, what should I never use for a lubricant? You talked about a couple of...
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. There's a little bit of an echo. I think I did cover this before, but I'll say it again in terms of what you should never use, because it really bears repeating. You want to make sure you never use a lubricant that has, for women especially, glycerin in it. And that's a common ingredient, even in some lubes that claim to be natural. A lube can, you know, you can go to your local pharmacy and there can be a lube on the shelf that could, you know, I mean, a couple of years ago, this is just so unbelievable, KY decided that they wanted to greenwash their lube and, you know, pretend that they had green lube. So they literally put a green label on a bottle of their lube and said and wrote the word natural on it in big letters. And I mean, don't even get me started on greenwashing, because it's a huge issue, and it's so easy to do because our regulation is you know so shoddy here. But you know, you can even put the word with organic ingredients and make the word organic really huge, and you know, if people don't know any better, they'll end up going to buy that product. So anyway, so make sure you read labels and avoid anything with glycerin, avoid anything with parabens and any other kinds of petrochemicals. And I think the better way to approach this is to just make sure that you go to safe brands rather than driving yourself crazy. I mean, you know, obviously this can happen, like if you're about to, you know, like if you have an unexpected date and you don't have any lube in your night table drawer and you're going to need some, and you're running out to CVS or whatever the popular drugstore is in LA. Do you guys have CVS there?
Yeah, yes, we do.
Okay, yeah, it's everywhere, isn't it? Okay, so you'll be looking at a variety of things, and they won't necessarily be natural organic. In that case, you'll really have to read the labels. But I think in this situation, although so much of EcoSex can be spontaneous, for things like lube, you do want to prepare in advance if you can. So I would do some research. And I think also, I believe that setting the intention, if you're using EcoSex to spice up your sex life, setting the intention and going out and buying these products in advance and stocking your cabinets with them, I think that brings you a good sex life.
Now, you talk about sex toys in your book. Is there something we should know about sex toys? Are they good for the environment in our green life?
That's a really good question, and it's a little bit of a complicated answer, because only certain ones are okay. Conventional sex toys, the ones that people have been using since time immemorial, are generally made of, and this is the kind, like if you go to kind of, you know, your usual sex shop, you know, in an area, what Times Square used to be in New York, I'm not sure what the equivalent would be in LA, but there are, you know, lots of these places that are still selling these toys that are made of plastic that contains phthalates, which is
We've got one out here. We've got a chain out here called Condom Revolution that sells a wide variety, and they're all over Orange County, Los Angeles, and they're called Condom Revolution.
Okay, that sounds like a good name. I don't know what they carry. I would have to look into it. Are you familiar with what they carry?
Well, I know they carry a wide range of items for all areas of play.
I will have to check that out when I'm in town. I will put that on my list. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, there are only a few brands right now that are really making safe, conscious sex toys. My favorite brand is Jimmy Jane. And the safest material that sex toys can be made of right now is silicone, although they also make them from glass. Glass is fairly safe, although you wouldn't think that it would be. Glass that's unbreakable is safe and not bad for the environment. And they make some sex toys out of woods that are not toxic to the environment, et cetera, et cetera. But definitely the kinds of sex toys that you want to avoid are the ones that, if you look at the box, if it says use with a condom, that is always going to be a code for this is a very dangerous sex toy that's made in China that is full of phthalates. You don't want to use those. And another thing that you can do is what I like to call the sniff test. So if you have a toy and you're not sure of its origins, if you have a toy that you bought before 2000, it's most likely not a safe toy, because they really, really weren't making good ones really before like 2004. But in buying new toys, or if you have a toy that you're unsure about, if you sniff it and it has like new car smell, you should definitely send it to a sex toy recycling company, and those exist, which is pretty awesome. But and if you're looking to buy a new one, I would say go to brands like Jimmy Jane or Lilo, and there are a couple of other ones that I list in my book that are really safe, and they last for a long time, and that makes all the difference in terms of going green. It's not just about health in this circumstance. It's also about this toy that you're buying, and maybe you'll spend a little bit more money on it because it's going to last you 10 or 20 years. You know, this is not something that's meant to be thrown away in under a year, like a lot of the conventional toys have always been meant for.
But this is just great information, really. I mean, I just never knew. So I can imagine a lot of other people in the vegetarian, vegan, green living world are just never put it together. So thank you for that. Fantastic. Well, we've got a few more questions here. What is greening your sex life?
Well, that is a big question. It's so many things, and I think we've been talking about a lot of what it is already. And I think, I mean, I mentioned this several times already in our conversation. I think where greening your sex life really begins is with your relationship to your own body. And I like to tell people that in order to green your sex life, you have to start first thing in the morning when you wake up. And you have to think about the way that you're greening your own body, because that is how you begin to green your sex life. You have to start with yourself. You have to start with what you put in and on your body. You have to start with what's in your cabinet. You have to start with, you know, also reducing any kinds of self-hating or toxic thoughts that you're constantly breeding. I think that has a toxic effect on your sex life as well. You wouldn't necessarily think of that in terms of being green and being eco, but I think it all comes together. And I think this is all about bringing a more holistic perspective to your sex life and your green life, bringing those two things together. So if you're already somewhat green, if you're in the yoga community, if you're vegan, if you're, you know, exploring raw foods, you're already there in a lot of ways, and all you have to do is just sort of meet somewhere in the middle and bring your sensual self into that mix. If you're, you know, totally new to all of this kind of thing, well, then I think it's a, you know, great, ripe place to be. There's a lot to learn. It's tremendously fun. You know, it will be, the whole experience, I think, will be a great pleasure. I'm not sure if I answered the question. Did I answer the question there?
No, I know. And I know you can just go deeper and deeper. And that's why I just want to get the word out. I know it was mentioned at the beginning of the hour, but I just want to mention the Gather Green event coming up this Saturday in Los Angeles, and we're inviting everyone to join us. So Stephanie is our featured speaker there, and Stephanie, you're looking forward to coming out to L.A. for this event?
I am so excited about this trip. I can't wait.
Yeah, so we'd like to invite you all out. It's this Saturday. Go to gathergreen.com. They've got discount. It was discounted from, I think, over $70 to $35, and they're running a special just for you. Thanks for being on the call, and I think he went down to $25. So our friends at Gather Green are offering that for $25, and there's a whole bunch of things going on there, aphrodisiac recipe demos, chocolates, essential oils, love potions, and workshops, and our featured speaker, Stephanie Iris Weiss, who's joining us right now, and again, that's in L.A. this Saturday. Can't wait.
I can't wait, too.
Have you been out here?
I haven't been out there in quite some time. I'm really, really due for a trip to L.A. It's been some years since I've been there, so I'm excited about
great.
The visit.
Well, I'll send you a list of must-eat restaurants.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
Okay, let's get back to our questions here. Before I mention that, I want to remind everyone to get your tickets now at gathergreen.com. I don't think I said that. So gathergreen.com to get those $25 discount tickets. What are the essential oils that can be used to enhance sexual drive? And I guess we're talking about aromatherapy and things like that.
Yeah. Oh, this is such a fun part of writing my book. I really, really love doing this and doing this research. I got to play with a lot of fun things. A wonderful, wonderful aromatherapy expert who's actually based in L.A., her name is Persephone. Her site is persephone.com. She was really generous and taught me so much about aromatherapy and sent me some incredible recipes for libido-stimulating scents, and she sent me a recipe for a scent to seduce a woman and a scent to seduce a man, and I have to say that these things, like, really seem to work. They're pretty amazing. Some of the just the principal essential oils. I'll just read to you from a list of different ones. And I have a whole, in the book, I have a, you know, several pages of a list that give profiles of each essential oil and, you know, their different properties. And each one has very distinct properties depending on what exactly it is that you want to stimulate. It's pretty amazing how diverse they are. So some of them, just to run through the list a little bit, ambrette is one. Cedarwood is very, very, very powerful on both genders. Clary sage, ginger, you can work with ginger. Jasmine is really, really, really incredible. I wear jasmine all the time, and I love it. I just can't stop smelling myself. Neroli, orange, patchouli, rose, and there are different varieties of rose that have different properties. There's rose absolute and rose geranium. Sandalwood is really wonderful. Vanilla, and I never knew before writing this book. I mean, I always loved the taste of vanilla, but I had no idea of its powerful effects in terms of stimulating the libido and enhancing your sex drive in general. And I one thing that I did, this is one of my favorite little tips from this book. Vanilla and cinnamon are amazingly huge turn-ons for men. And men on this call, I don't know if you know how turned on you are by this, but trust me, you are, even if you don't think you are. What else? Ylang Ylang is another one. Tuberose and vetive is another one. And so, you know, I would recommend that people play with these things. Go to a place that sells these essential oils and get yourself little tubes and bottles and play with them and see what works best for you. But the ingredients for the libido-stimulating scent, I'm not going to read all the recipes because that would take too long, but the libido-stimulating scent contains cedarwood oil, patchouli, and ginger, and it's in a base oil, and she recommends for the base oil almonds is one of her suggestions, and coconut oil. Almond, jojoba, grapeseed, and coconut oil are all the different kinds of bases that she says that you can recommend. So it would really be dependent on your own taste.
Mm. Now, there's lots of ways we can diffuse. They've got the ones you could plug in the wall. They've got the drops you could put on the what's the best way to set the mood? Do you recommend the non-alcohol sprays?
You know, I'm not so into the sprays because those tend to be. I mean, there are sprays that are super natural, but I do love the diffusers. I love the glass bottles that you just pour a little essential oil on the bottom of, and they have the sticks, you know, that you can turn over. Have you seen those? Those are, you know, they've gotten popular over the last couple of years. I'm trying to think of a brand that I like that uses them.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I wasn't familiar with that.
Yeah, a lot of different perfume companies are using them now. It's just basically like some kind of glass vessel, and you pour the blend into the vessel, and then they have these little sticks that almost look like incense sticks, and you turn them, and they fill the room up with scents. They're pretty incredible. I'm also a huge believer in the power of candles. And I have a whole section in the book about safe candles to use. There are certain candles that you definitely don't want to be using and ones that you want to be using. Am I answering the question properly? What was the second part of the question?
No, that was great. It was just how you set the mood, and is it best to just put some drops on the pillow, or do you put it on your neck?
I mean, I think both. I think whatever works for you. I love dropping a little essential oil on a pillow. That's always a wonderful thing. I think the thing is, like, you know, if you're using something strong, you don't want to overdo it. You want to be careful. So maybe, you know, begin setting the mood as far in advance as you can, so you make sure you don't do too much, and give a good sniff and make sure you haven't done too much.
Great. Well, we've got a few more questions here. Thank you all for joining us on the call. Stephanie Iris Weiss, let's get to our next. What aphrodisiacs are still available to me on a living food, whole food, or raw food diet?
You know, that's a great question. And, you know, there are tons. So many of the foods the aphrodisiac foods can be eaten raw. For instance, in my list of aphrodisiac foods, I break it down by gender in my book. So aphrodisiac foods for women on this list are almonds, avocado, basil. You can, you know, always eat raw chocolate. Papaya are some of the aphrodisiacs for women. I like a little raw ginger. It's a little bit strong for certain people, but that's also on the list. And in terms of aphrodisiac foods for men, we have basil, we have cayenne, we have figs, we have ginger, that's for both. Grapes, hemp seed, mango, peach, pineapple, pumpkin, sea cucumber, squash, watermelon. So there are lots of things that you can really use for aphrodisiacs, even if you're raw.
Well, now I grew up on the East Coast, and I know mangoes weren't readily available. Have you had a ripe, organic, juicy mango in your life?
You know, I did in the islands once, and it was really one of the best experiences of my life.
Definitely when you're out here on this trip, because they're ripe right now, and they're just amazing.
As long as I can eat it in a bathtub naked with a friend, I'll be very happy.
With it just dripping down your chin, and yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
It's part of the whole experience.
Which leads us to our next question. What is Tantra?
Tantra is a whole suite of different, you know, I mean, Tantra comes from the Indian form of, people think of like tantric sex, but it's actually a lot more than the act of sex. It's really all about prolonging the entire experience. I'm not an expert on Tantra. I include it in the book, but there will be some people who are talking about tantric massage, I think, at the event. It's Magda, can you confirm that for me? Is that something that we were talking about and it's not going to be there, or is it going to be there?
Oh, let's unmute her line.
Is she still there?
I think so.
We're not specifically talking about Tantra. We're doing, in fact, I forgot to mention that earlier, so thanks for bringing it up, but we're doing sensual massage techniques demonstration to teach people sensual massage, but it's not exactly Tantra.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Tantra is a huge, huge, arena that there are people who have tremendous expertise. One of the people I really like who has a great book on Tantra is Barbara Corellis. I'm trying to remember. Oh, yeah, her book is called Urban Tantra, Sacred Sex for the 21st Century. It's a great book. And the way that she describes it is, Tantra was a spiritual rebellion that was the sex, drugs, and rock and roll of its time. So basically, it was about giving up pleasure in order to experience pleasure. And it's, you know, I describe this one eye exercise. It's called eye gazing in the book, which is truly amazing. And it's really just about learning which of your eyes is the non-dominant eye, and then kind of taking your partner's gaze with the non-dominant eye and holding it. And it's, you know, really so much just about, like, holding the space and not moving. And it really is quite a powerful thing for getting in touch with the body, getting in touch with the partner, and especially in, you know, the times that we live in where we're all, you know, experiencing some form of attention deficit disorder with our gadgets and our computers and our overwhelm from our schedules and our constant phone calls and our, you know, text messages. We all have text neck and we're not even looking into each other's eyes as we're walking down the street. We're looking down at our phones.
Right.
I think Tantra is a really, really powerful way to force yourself to slow down and just be there in the space with your partner.
Right. I would think that would lead to a deep level of intimacy.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's quite frightening, but it really can provide breakthroughs in relationships.
Fantastic. Okay, we've got a couple more questions before we wind down here. Is swallowing body secretions from your partner safe?
Well, you know, that's a kind of a complicated question. I mean, it's thought to be safe, you know, in certain circumstances. But I'm not, you know, an expert on STDs, and I wouldn't want to give anyone the wrong advice. I think there are different bodily substances that have different degrees of safety and different, you know, in terms of different diseases. So, I mean, what was always recommended was, you know, when I was in college, for instance, was, you know, always use a condom and use a dental dam when you're, you know, practicing all different forms of sex. So, I don't necessarily feel comfortable answering that question because I am not an expert in STDs. But you know, it also depends on, I would say, I think an important question here is, are you in a monogamous relationship? Has your partner been tested? You know, I wouldn't just go around in casual sexual encounters doing that.
Right.
That's my best advice there.
That's good. Okay, how do you go from sustainable loving to sustainable love long term?
That is an amazing question. Sustainable loving to sustainable love long term. I think my answer for that is that I believe the daily practice that we engage in always plays a role in what becomes our long term relationship with other human beings and with whatever it is we're trying to bring into the world. And I think that sustainable loving, so in other words, practicing eco-sex and all the varieties that we've talked about tonight, you know, if you're doing these consciously and you're doing these with intention, it will help you to build every day, like the way we do with a yoga practice, the way we do with, you know, remembering to breathe, all of these things. I think that will help you to create a long-term kind of sustainability in terms of your relationship.
Great. Well, we're winding down here. How about our last question, Stephanie? Why should our friends come meet you out in L.A. this Saturday, August 20th, 2011. You come right up to L.A. for this amazing event with Gather Green.
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, because we're just going to have a blast. We're going to have so much fun. It's going to be a pool party. And mainly because I'm going to divulge, I mean, I, you know, gave out a lot of information here tonight on this call, but there are a ton more secrets and little tricks and tips that I will be happy to divulge. And they'll get a copy of the book, which I will be thrilled to sign, and all of the amazing vendors that are going to be there. I'm so excited to meet everyone. I'm excited about that chocolate. And I think that everyone else should be just as excited.
Right. And that website to sign up, it's at gathergreen.com. And they're offering a discount right now. It was $35. It's $25 now. Actually, originally, it was over $70. So we're just trying to get as many people to this event because it's going to be incredible, a topic not often talked about, but really this needs to get out there. Don't you
yeah.
agree?
Oh, yeah. I really hope that it does. And I love that, you know, all the people on this call tonight will begin to think about these issues and share it with the people in their lives, their friends, their loved ones, and really start to get this movement going, because I really do believe that this is a movement and it's growing. Yeah.
Great, Stephanie. Stephanie Iris Weiss, the author of EcoSex. Thanks for joining us. Again, you want to mention your website?
Yes, my website is ecosex.net, and I'm Ecosexuality on Twitter.
Great, and the best way to get the book, I know it's up on Amazon.
Yeah, the best way to get the book is really just to hop on ecosex.net. That's super easy, and there's a link at the top of the page. It'll take you right to the Amazon page.
Fine, great. And I'll just check. We've got some people on the call. If there's any last-minute questions, just *2 on your phone to raise your hand, and I'll call on you. *2 to raise your hand, and we'll take a question or two before we close out for the night. Well, it looks like everyone's a little bit shy tonight, and that's fine. Thanks again, Stephanie. It's great, and we're looking forward to this Saturday. Eduardo and Magda, thanks for joining us. GatherGreen.com, and we'll see everyone Saturday. Thanks again, Stephanie.
Thank you so much, Steve. See you Saturday.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Moderator ID accepted.